You're listening to the Stephen Sexton Podcast. This transforming message will activate, elevate, and cultivate you for the next level. For more information on Stephen, go to stephensexton.org. Here's Stephen.
And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into what God has for us today. Father, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this place. God, I thank you for your anointing to move. God, I thank you that you're going to do some great things. God, align perspectives today. Speak to our heart. God, right now we tear down the walls of things in our heart that would keep us from receiving. And God, that we know that you're going to do great, mighty things. We serve you in this place. We give you our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a kid, I remember watching the reruns of Leave It to Beaver. And come on, back in the day, how many of y'all, Leave It to Beaver people, June and Ward, Cleaver, putting up with the childish antics and mischievousness of the Beave and Wally, come on. And at the end of the show, I remember that Ward would follow his children up to their room or around the table, and he would try to navigate them through the problems of the day. And he would try, and it would end up with a moral choice, a moral decision. And usually the kids would see, okay, yeah, Dad, that's it, that's right. Golly, Dad. You know what I'm saying? And then I was watching a TV show here that's out this year, and I've just seen a few episodes of it. It's called the No Ordinary Family, and it's about four families, and it's about one family, and they all have superhero gifts, and they're learning how to use their superhero gifts. And there's the dad, and he's got a superpower, and the mom, and the two kids, and there's love. I mean, it's a decent show. It's not immoral. There's not a lot of nasty stuff going on in this show. But as I look at that show, I do see it. The dad loves the mom, and the mom loves the kids, and love is there. But I guess the Lord was speaking to me because, you know, that is a typical family in America. And I guess what was alarming is that even though there was love, there was no trust. There was rebellion. There was no authority. No submission of authority. Kind of kids kind of did what they want. The family worked on a pragmatic approach. You know, the ends justify the means. It's okay to lie a little bit if it all works out at the end. It was kind of like everybody was doing their own thing, and it was like a house of individuals that didn't have any other, that had to live together. You know, the kids can't support themselves, so they have to live there. The wife maybe can't support herself on her own, so she's, and the husband, and so it's kind of like a house of individuals. And I really started thinking, and I really started praying through this, and you know what, I guess as I get older, and I have kids of my own, I want to know how to build a godly family. I want to know how to build a family that can stand the pressures of life and that can be a living testimony that our family serves Christ. Is that something that you guys are looking for? Because I think that as a church, you know, we want to build a great church, but we can only build a great church if we build great families. You know, families are the instigator of everything, socially, economically. Families start it all. They're the hub. And so, as I speak to you today, I understand that your family is not the norm. Maybe you have the exceptional family. Maybe you have the family that you've got it all together. But today, as we're talking about being rooted and grounded in God's Word, I want to talk about the family. I want to talk about how to have a strong family. And I don't know, maybe you grew up watching shows, as I did, where maybe you watched All in the Family, The Cosby Show, Full House. How many of y'all had some Full Housers? You know what I'm saying? Come on. Maybe, Maybe you, I don't know, maybe you watched The Simpsons. I didn't really ever get into The Simpsons. King of the Hill, Family Matters, Urkel, you know what I'm saying? Family Matters. That's TGIF, man, that was Friday. Pizza, Coke, and Urkel. maybe you watched My Wife and Kids. I don't know. But there's a lot of shows that were out that depicted the family. You know what? Here's the thing. Is that I guess as I get a little older, I see the importance of a godly family, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I know that. And what happens is nobody wants their families to be victimized by the enemy. But what happens is we get busy doing a lot of other good things, and we remove the priority. And what happens is a lot of times the families in this culture fend for themselves. And today I want to speak to the dads. I want to speak to the moms. Maybe you're here and you've been a single parent, or you're a single parent. And all I want you to know is today, this sermon, this word that I'm going to share is not just for the American family, husband, wife, and two kids. I am a product of single parent family. And here's what I want to tell you, is that if you're a single parent in this place, God can do great things through your young people if you will keep fighting. Don't you dare quit. And I know that it gets hard. I know that the time and the effort and the work and the job and the balance and having a mama and daddy, I know that that's tough. But don't you quit. God's got something great in store for your kids. God's got something great in store for what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, if you get discouraged and you quit, then the enemy will come in. For you, those of us who we have a wife and a husband, a mom and a dad, I want to tell you this. I'm reminded of 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And you don't have to turn there, but probably one of the most dysfunctional families in the Bible came from someone who had a heart after God. I mean, I know you want to sit there and we try to act like we got the perfect family, and we try to act like everything's put together, and we try to act, but what I'm telling you is David, who in the New Testament was noted to have a heart after God, he had an affair, he murdered a man, his son raped his half-sister. Daddy Dave heard about it and didn't do anything about it. No discipline came to Amnon. So Absalom rose up and killed his half-brother. David would not touch Absalom. Absalom wanted to go and take his throne. He wanted to kill his own father, and he wouldn't touch him. Solomon started out great, but ended up doing exactly what Dad did. Dad had 7-8 wives, so he had about 700. And all I'm telling you is this awesome man of God never transitioned his relationship with God into his family. And listen, we can have great private devotion, but we've got to cross over, and we've got to have that relationship that we have with God connecting our families. They've got to be around our families. We got to pray. We got to believe God. We've got to come together even as a family. You know, I know the Bible says that you go into the closet and shut the door, but let me just tell you this. If you're a parent, a grandparent, there's got to be a crack in the door because your family's got to see what you're doing. If not, you have this awesome private life that nobody knows about. And I want to talk today about the family. David was the one. He was the giant killer. He was the nation saver. He was the one chosen by God. Yet the biggest battles in his life came with his family. Family is an important thing. And family's frustrating too. You can love your family and hate your family all at the same time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you love to love them and you love to hate them and you hate to hate them and you hate them. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Family's crazy. That's why there's such a strong assignment from the enemy to attack the family. Because what comes through the family, Psalms tells us that our children are arrows that we shoot out. If the devil can destroy the family and the breakdown of family, everybody understands the importance of the family. Our own government understands the importance of a family. Statistically, you can look it up. Families that eat together more than 3 times a week, the charts are off. It's off the charts on how well their children do in life. They won't become addicted. They do better in school. If the own government's putting it out. Another thing. Won't become addicted to drugs, alcohol, all these things. Another thing that even our education system, they just came out with a new report that the guy who is running education for our country said, if I could take 10%, if I had my choice between 10% of more money or 10% of family involvement, I would pick family involvement, because education happens not in school, but what happens outside of it. Everybody understands the importance of family. Everybody understands the importance of family. And for us as a church, well, great, this sermon's not for me. If you're single, it's for you. If you're a parent, it's for you. If you're a grandparent, it's for you. If you're a single parent, it's for you. Today is for you, and I want to show you that we got to have strong families, that we got a need for strong families. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. When you're there, say, I got it. Joshua 24, 15. Joshua 24, 15. Before we read this, let's get up to speed a little bit on what's going on in this text. Joshua is old and advanced in years. And he is talking to all of Israel, the leaders, the judges, the elders, everyone. And he is telling them, remember God. Don't marry citizens from other countries. Don't go backward and join what we've already whooped. Okay, now let me set the story, because I want to walk through the three things that I just said there. Okay, if you start in chapter 23, you read 23 and 24, which we're not going to do that, but I'm just kind of paraphrasing it for you. He rallies everybody. He's about to die. And he says, all right, guys, I've learned some things in my years. And he said, let's go through some things. And he starts listing all of these things that we need to think about. Number one, are you going to choose God? Are you going to choose God? Number two, don't marry someone. And it wasn't talking about just marrying someone from another country. They lived in a society that there were a lot of other countries that worshipped other gods. And what he was saying is, if you get over here and you marry someone who doesn't believe the way we believe, your house will be divided. We will lose the strength of what God has called us as a people to do. The next thing he said is, don't go backwards and join what we've already whooped. Come on. If you're older in this place, if you've been around, if you've got some kids, maybe your kids now have families of their own, how many of you, it's hard to see your kids join something that you've already whooped? Maybe you battled insecurity, and it took you were 45 or 50 till you got it, but you handled it, you got it handled, and now you see your kids going back and joining the very thing that it took you forever to whoop. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's depression. Maybe finances. You finally, at 40, got your finances right, and you're looking at your kids going, baby, don't join what I've already whooped. Let's come over here. Does this make sense? Don't go back to what we've already got victory in. Dad fought this for our family. Mom fought this for our family. Don't get out here and do this on your own. Don't come back and do, come on, I want to help you. I want to protect you. I want a strong family. Don't go back here and join what we've already beat. And so he's telling them what's going on. In verse 24, 15, let's read this together. "And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you are living. But for me and my house," come on, "we will serve the Lord." Come on, everybody in this place. "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What I'm telling you is this is a man statement. As Joshua is old and he is saying, listen, I've seen good, I've seen bad, I've been a part of great mighty moves of God. And let me tell you something, y'all can do whatever y'all want, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, we've got to see that our families are in the same situation that Israel was in. Israel was a community of believers that was in a land that had a lot of other gods. We're in the same place. We're a community of believers in this Fountain Lake, Jesseville area. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of gods in this world. There's a lot of gods in this land. It can be materialism. It can be money, finances. It can be women. It can be men. It can be whatever it is. There's a lot of gods in this land. And what I'm telling you is, if we don't warn our kids, if we don't teach our kids, if we don't teach, then what happened is they're going to go back and they're going to join the very things we left. Does this make sense? They're going to join the very things that we walked away from, that we said, no, that's not it. You can put your kids in Christian school. You can be a Christian family around this area. Listen to me. Christian school. You can be a great Christian family. Parents, you can check Facebook. You can check phones. You can check text messages. You can find out who they are. You can be a creeper. You can do all of those things. And I'm not saying that none of those are bad. But I'm telling you this. If we don't teach our children the life and only give them law, then they will rebel. And so here's what happened. In 24, Joshua 24, verse 1 through 13, Joshua does not take out a belt and start spanking Israel. "You dirty, sorry sucker, wrong, don't never been, don't you know, no kid in my house. Nobody in my..." Here's what he does. He shares with them where they've come from. As everybody is gathered, millions of people, he says, "Let me talk to you a little bit. The reason that you're here, the only reason that you're breathing, the reason that you're called Israelites is because God spoke to Abraham and told him to leave the country of his fathers and come to a new land, Canaan, which he would show him. And then, and in that process, Abraham was faithful and he had Isaac. And Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob's name, Jacob started out as a deceiver, but God got a hold of him and changed his name and made him Israel. And that's our name. And he had 12 sons. He had 10 sons. And out of him came the 12 tribes. And then Joseph led those tribes into Egypt. And they became bondage. They became slaves. They became in bondage and slaves. And they became ruled over. And God sent Moses to come and bring them out of that. And God sent Moses and he brought us right to the edge of the land which God had showed and was going to give us. And it was God who let us go into the land of Canaan. And we whooped the Amalekites. We tore down and beat Jericho. And I'm telling you here, and as he walks him through the testimony of where they've come from, he can then say, "You do what you want to do. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." See, we got the parents. You have a testimony. You have a way. You have a road. And I hear some parents that say, well, I'm not going to share my testimony with my kids. Why? I will never share my testimony with my kids because you're scared that they may do it. The only reason you are who you are is because of how you fell. And if you don't tell your kids how you became to be you, then they'll go figure out it all on their own. But you walk them through, here's how we came to be, and here's what we came, and Dad did this, and it wasn't right, and I played church, and but I had a grandma, and she never stopped praying for me, and I'm telling you that you're here, and we're in church because of these decisions and choices that we've made in our life, and here is what God's done in our family. You want to have a strong family. You got to tell your testimony. You got to let your kids know. See, back in the Old Testament, we were having festivals and feasts and Sabbaths, and people were fasting, and kids were like, how come we're not having any food? And they'd be like, oh, we're fasting for God. Oh, God. And then it was just, it was a community. It was something we do every day. But now, if we're not careful, the only time your family sees you do anything godly is on Sunday mornings. And we're mad at our kids for only showing up on Sunday when that's what they've seen. The devil is going to come against your home. That's not a profession. That's his job. That's what he does. And who's going to fight that? Grandparents. There may be people right now, a son or a daughter that has gone a wayward way. You pray. You don't let anybody come against your house. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Are there any people in here that are ready to protect their house, protect their home? Where are the men in this place that says, me and my house? I don't care what it looks like today. I don't care what it looks like here in the last month or 2 years. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. Joshua was letting the people know, I've made a decision for me and my house. And do we have parents and grandparents in this place who won't let the enemy steal from their house? Here's what Joshua was teaching us. As he rallied everybody together. And today, that's what I want us to do. I want us to rally the troops. I want us to rally the team. I want us to talk to everybody. I know you got that adult boy. I know you got that adult daughter now. And I know, but here's what I want to do. I want to rein everybody in. And here's what Joshua did. He felt it getting off a little bit. He felt like his life was coming to an end. And here's what he did. He regrouped. He reprioritized. He reminded people of the vision. And he retold the stories. And that's what we got to do. Come on. Life's been going weird and fast. And you got to go here and you got to go here. It's time to regroup. We're going to have a little family time. We're going to get around the table. We're going to talk. We're going to get around the table. We got this friend. We're going to pray for this friend. We're going to regroup a little bit in this family. Come on. We're not going to be so divided. We're not going to be a house of individuals. We're going to regroup a little bit. We're going to reprioritize. Family is forever. Friendships come and go. We're going to put importance on what is important, and friendships are very, very important. But what I'm telling you is, friendships will leave you, and family will be there. We got to regroup a little bit. We got to reprioritize. We got to remind people of the vision God gave you to me. Listen, you may have been adopted and you may have been birthed, but what I'm telling you is you were gave to your mom and you were gave to your daddy, and if you didn't like it, you take that up with God. But all I'm telling you is that God has got a plan for you. Even if your parents were bad parents, God can still do something great from something bad. The Bible says that he can take ashes and make them beautiful. We live in such a disconnected generation that if my parents tick me off, I cut them off. if my parents go over the line, then I'm done. And if we're going to make strong families, listen, we got to be grounded and rooted in what the Bible tells us. Not emotion, not what culture says, not what the TVs show us about families, but what the Bible says about families. It's important. Parents, we have a responsibility to our children. Everything builds off of the family. Dad, it's time to ask a question. Where is your family going? Where are you leading them? Moms, what are the priorities in your family? Kids, children, where are your focus? We got to have strong families. And I want to talk about four concepts that I see in the Word that will help us have strong families. Four concepts, real quick, that will help us have strong families. The first, taking notes, write them down. If you're single, you need to be writing these down. Single folks, bless God, you're about to jump into it, but you hadn't messed up yet, so write it down. If you don't have kids yet, write this stuff down. See, because here's the thing. For us to grow up good families, we got to talk about good families. We got to speak about good families. We got to minister on good families. Because if not, all the TV shows the weak dad, the frustrated mom, the rebellious kids, and we think, well, that's what everybody does. That's not what everybody does. That's not what everybody does. The first thing, and we're talking about a strong family, the first thing that we have to have is we have to have an authentic relationship with Christ. First and foremost, we have to have an authentic relationship with Christ. Luke 14, 26 says this, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, his wife or his children, his brothers or sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." We have made this passage of Scripture and we've turned it into something that it's not. We got people wanting to marry Christ and join a convent and join a monastery because, you know what? Christ is not the enemy to the family. Christ is the enhancer to the family. Jesus is not a sever to family. What I'm telling you is, sir, your wife, as much as you love her, as much as you love the kids, because in life and in marriage and in family, there can be an alteration. And before you know it, you don't even know how it happened. But y'all are in love with the kids and not each other. Y'all are in love with them. And when they leave, the reality will come and it will hit you in the face and you will go, how did we get here? Because the one thing we agree on is them. And when they leave, we have us. What Jesus is saying is, I want to be first. I want to be before your cute little 5-year-old. I want to be before your awesome 19-year-old. I want to be before your proud little Marine. I want to be first. And everything else needs to fall in its priority. But I want to be number one. I want to be number one. Dads, I want to encourage you. Have your children seen you pray? And when's the last time? When's the last time you've rallied the troops? You've said, we're going to pray over the situation. When drama comes into your house, come on, we're going to bind that thing. We're going to pray about it. We're going to figure it out. We're going to lead. We're going to do whatever needs to happen. But we're not going to have those thoughts because those thoughts will destroy family. They'll hurt our relationships. And we're not going to do that. Moms, children can't be first. Your place as a wife can't be first. God has got to be first. Kids need to see that you're pursuing a real relationship with God. They need to see what you're doing every day of the week. You're not religious. It's not just an obligation, but you are committed to know God. You're committed to having His attributes work in your life. You may not be perfect, but you're growing. You're growing. Come on, I want more of the Lord. Isn't it ridiculous for us to demand our children to be something that we're not? And I'm not talking about just those in the home stage right now. I'm talking about grandparents. You have a child, and it's very easy to look at them and go, I can't believe that's the way they're parenting their kids. I can't believe they need to put socks on those feet. They need to, and you know, because you've been there and you know. Do they see you lead your family? Or do they see you just be critical? Do they see your relationship with God? We got to pray in our families. We got to get in the Word in our families. There's got to be something that unites all of us, and it is not the bond of love. It is the commitment to Christ. And if we keep Him first, we draw everybody to Him. But if we keep Him third, then we draw everybody to a personality. And what happens is everybody likes Mom, and they can't stand Dad. Everybody likes Dad, and they can't stand Mom. Christ, and we all come there. If we're going to have strong families, we got to keep Christ first. The second thing is this. We have to have a mentality to serve. If you're going to have a strong family, you got to have a mentality to serve. We got to serve each other. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to talk a little bit about this. Get in here a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5. Talking about being rooted and grounded. We're going to have a strong family. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own... Okay, well, hold on. I'm going to read a lot, so don't get over there. I know where this is going. Listen, I am a modern woman, and no man is going to tell me what to... But just relax a second. Just give me a second. I'm going to work it all in. You know what I'm saying? Just because I'm building something here, just because I put in the chocolate chips, I'm going, I'm getting it all. Just relax. Relax. Wives, be subject to your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. I'm getting to the other stuff. Relax. I'm getting there. So stay here a while. As Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Come on, men. Look at that word and say, everything. Come on, one, two, three. Some of y'all scared to say something. That's not, no, Pep. That's all right. Listen. Everything. That's what the Bible says. You can say it with pride. She strikes you down, you can be like, God said it. God. Everything. 25. Husbands, love your wives. Love. Love. Come on, wives. On the count of three, say, love me. One, two, three. Love me. No, don't put up with me. Love me. Love me the way I am. Love everything about me. You don't get to pick and choose what you love of me. Love me. Come on. Now it's starting to work. All you women, you thought, but now it's starting. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Love me. Commandment by God. Want me to change everything? Love me the way I am. Love. Isn't it fun to know that everything's the same? In every family, it's all the same. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of the water of the word. Listen. What we have to understand is, guys, we got to have a mentality to serve. Everybody serves somebody in the family. Let's go up to Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Listen, what I'm telling you is the concept of family is everybody serves somebody. Nobody's just, it's not all about me. It's not all about my life. It's not all about my issue. It's not all about what I want. It's not all about my dream. What I'm telling you is the father serves the wife. The wife serves the husband. The parents serve the family, the kids, by teaching them and training them and developing them. And the kids serve the parents. And if we don't get that, then our children grow up selfish, self-absorbed, thinking everything revolves around them. And that's not the way life works. We got to have a mentality to serve. Listen, and I'm just telling you, if we're going to have strong families, we got to have strong marriages. And a strong marriage, if you'll go back and study this, basically a husband's role, if you look at this, is to honor, to exalt his wife, to take her and put her on a pedestal. But her responsibility is to submit, and so she bends down to him, and they see each other at eye level. That's the partnership of marriage, is that I can promote you, and I can submit to you. And that's when God, when he created Eve, he took out of the side of Adam. See, I'm not to be domineering over you, but I lift you up, and you, and together we're eye to eye, we're team. We got to have good marriages. And if we don't, then no one will learn how to serve. Got to learn how to serve in your family. Got to learn how to serve. One of the biggest meltdowns of marriage in our culture is because of pride and selfishness. Pride and selfishness. You're just selfish. Nobody can teach you nothing. You're always right. Prideful. Pride. And let's just talk a little bit here. We used to have a dog. And man, that dog would get ticks all the time. So the kids would just love on the dog, ride the dog, and they'd come in with a tick everywhere. Pull them off, spray the dog. In marriages, and ticks are terrible. Ticks are terrible. They just suck and take, and you know what I'm saying? They don't care who they're on. They just want to get it all. And in marriages, in our culture, we got two ticks and no dog. You know what I'm saying? We got two ticks and they're both like, give me, I want my way. And we have to remove, if we're going to have a good marriage, we got to remove the if principle. The if you do it, then I'll do it. If you do this, if you promote, if you do right, I'll do right. If you do right, I'll do right. If. There is no if. There's no conditions. We can't have two selfish ticks in the marriage and produce anything godly. If we want strong families, I'm just telling you, you're a giver to your family. You're a giver to your wife. You're a giver. Well, this is the way I am, and this is the way my daddy was, and this is the way. Change. This way my mama was. And if you don't like it, I don't like it. And we got to change. Got to change. Those of us who are married, if you want strong family, you got to put an importance on marriage. Date nights. Go out. Well, listen, that's all great for people who got a lot of money, but I don't. Fold up some bread. Get a wish sandwich. Where you wish something was in the middle, and y'all go and walk together. You gotta help each other out. Keep the fun. Is there fun? Are y'all laughing? Are y'all having fun? Is it fun in your relationship? In the family, everybody's gotta know they serve someone. Everybody serves. And we got to teach our children to serve with a cheerful attitude. Life doesn't revolve around them. Listen, there's not one time, mom, that you carry in the groceries that you don't find something for your child to carry. If you don't want to carry, mom, I want to watch TV. God, I don't want to do this. Go to bed. You don't get to eat my food. If you want to eat my food, then you help do what the family does. But what happened is we have had now so many hard family situations that we've got parents that want to try to save their kids. And I just don't want to have a family like I had. And I just don't want. And so we go and make their bed and we clean all their room and we do everything for them. And they never give to the family. Don't raise a tick. Don't raise a tick. Because it may be cute when they bat their eyes at 5 and 6, but when they're 19 and they can't keep a job, they can't pay the bills, and they want to live with you till they're about 50, come on. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Number 3. Is this good? Are y'all getting something out of this? Number 3. Strong families. Understanding of authority. We got to have an understanding of authority in the house. Children will obey and honor their parents. Guys, I'm just telling you, look at me. And for those of you young people here, I'm just telling you, it's a must for you. It's a must. Your parents are going to do it wrong. They're going to say it wrong. Most of the time, your parents are right in concept, wrong in tone. And that's why we fight. You don't like the way they said it, but what they said was right. You know what I'm saying? Listen, you got to watch out. You've got to come under authority. Obedience builds responsibility. Obedience comes before honor. Obedience builds character. If we want our children to have character, they've got to be obedient. Rules are a necessary part of life. With advanced age comes advanced wisdom. How do we teach our children to be obedient? 3 ways. We model it. We model it in front of them. They see us do. They see us submitting to our boss. But if we come in and we run down our boss and we run down the pastor and we run down every authority figure in our life, they will run down you. And you think that they're mature enough to eat the fish and spit out the bone, but what I'm telling you is there was a reason that God wanted to stop the grumbling and the complaining in the children of Israel, because it was producing something in the house. It was producing something in the culture. And what I'm saying is, watch your tongue. Even as you disagree with whoever the president is, if it's a Republican, if it's a Democrat, if it's an independent, watch the way you word things. Because they are learning authority from you. Watch the way you put it. If you want to be honored, we do it by modeling. The next way we do it is we let them deal with their own consequences. Come on, if you want your kids to understand authority, they got to deal with consequences. You cannot run in there and save them. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man will not work, he will not eat. You cannot jump in and be super mom and save the day, because the reason that happens is because really there's some insecurity inside us, and we want our kids to need us. And so we run in there and we save the day and we remove consequences from their life. But what I'm telling you is there will be a day, and it will come, when consequences will come because of their actions, and you as a parent cannot fix the situation. Let them learn it over a toy. Let them learn it over missing dinner. Let them learn it over a spanking. But don't let them learn it in a marriage. Don't let them learn it when they're married and they have to be divorced and the kids got to split up and now you don't ever get to see the grandkids. Don't let them learn it there. Let them learn it when they're young. Life has consequences. And if we want to promote authority, then we've got to stand by our word. We've got to mean what we say. And we've got to let things sometimes play out. And that's very hard because I know that they're your most precious gift. But you're going to have to let this thing play out. In life, honor is more caught than taught. But your kids will see how you honor your husband and your wife, and they will pick up that honor. You can't teach them it in a lesson. We need to understand that there's blessings that come when you submit under authority. When you submit to the authorities that God has placed you in, blessings come. Moses was the authority. The people rebelled, but the authority was trying to move them out of bondage, move them out of slavery. Listen to me, teenagers. Your parents may not have always been right, but they're trying to move you somewhere. They don't like the guy that you're dating. They don't like this person. They don't like what's going on in here, and they're trying to move you out of somewhere. Don't kick and fight them the whole way. I should have got a bigger amen on that. They're trying to share something with you. They've been there. They're trying to help you. They're not trying to control your life. Come on. Authority. The last thing is this. Number four. There's got to be an overtone of love in the home. We love each other. And I know how it gets, guys, because we got four kids. And before, me and Katie used to sit together. And now it's like every kid, we're farther and farther apart, and we've got to do a good job at making sure that just because we had them doesn't remove us. And there will be a time that if we're not sitting in between these people, we'll mess up the church. But the time is coming, and I'm letting my kids know, baby, you're not sitting there forever. You're moving on and out, so you got to pay attention in church. You're moving on and out. You're moving on and out. I'm getting back to this over here. You're moving on and out. Get that sippy cup. Learn how to go to the bathroom, because you're moving on and out. You're moving on and out. There's got to be an overtone of love in the home. And here's the problem when we try to love someone, because I've tried it. Is there's got to be two things that happen when you want to operate in love in the home. First of all, you can't be so busy that you don't see the opportunity and when to give love. That's really hard. Okay, your wife's over there, she's got a kid, she's got this, she's got that, or she's in this business deal and she's trying to get all this stuff done and she's working and the tea's about to fall and you just come over there and you catch that. See, you had an opportunity for love. Another thing is, you see the car and it's on empty. It's on empty. And you know what? Because we're moving through our day so fast and we're multitask kings and queens, we don't see an opportunity to love them. What I want to open your eyes today is look at the opportunities to love. Look at the opportunities to love. Here you are. You've had a bad day and he comes up and she comes up and you're channeling stuff on the computer and she comes up and starts giving you a massage. Man. Ah. But you know what? The second part of that is, a lot of times, we're too busy to see that we've just been loved. And so she comes up to give a massage. Stop that. I'm trying to work here, Dad. Girl, what's up? I'm trying to do something here. All on me. All always wanting me. That's not how it is at y'all's house? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, what I'm saying is sometimes we don't see when love was given. She cooks this food or he fixes this thing or does this. Well, that's his job. He needs to take out the trash. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. Let me tell you something. No, he doesn't. If you can't whoop him, no, he doesn't. He doesn't have to. Listen to what I'm saying to you. He doesn't have to. And when he does, or when she does, or when your kids, you were outside working, and your son or your daughter walks out and says, hey, Dad, can I help? No, 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 I got it. You go ahead. You missed it. They wanted to love you, but you were too busy. You missed it. They wanted to love you, but you were too busy. You never even saw it. We got to have an overflow of love in the home where I see where I can love you and I feel the love that you're giving to me. And I respond to that. I acknowledge that. Thank you, babe. Thank you. My kids, thank you. Hey, Dad, you want me to? Yeah, I do. Does this make sense? We got to have an overview of love in the home. I feel the love. I see the love. I'm experiencing your love, and I appreciate you. Kids, look at me. When your parents go to your games, well, they have to. No, they don't. They don't have to do anything for you. Shelter, food, that's it. They can buy you one outfit, and you keep wearing it forever. As long as you're not naked, we're good. They owe you nothing. When they take off their schedule and they come to your game and they cheer, I remember coming into some volleyball and I see the refs sitting right up here watching. I went over to Fountain Lake and watched some volleyball parents, whole family, everybody right there. They don't have to show up. But if they do, thank you. Now, parents, I'm going to tell you this. You have to show up. You got to show up. How come everybody is bragging on your kids and you're never there to see what they're doing? It is terrible for your kid to make the winning shot or to do this or to do that, and you missed it. Now, listen to me. Listen, I'm trying to balance this because I know we're in a hard economy, and I know sometimes you got to do whatever you got to do to keep the lights on. But if you can't be there, it's not because you were a no-show. It's because they know, baby, I want to come see you, but here's what's happening. And I will be at the next three games, but at this one, you work it out. There's community. There's conversation. We know what's going on. Don't make it be terrible to be the third and fourth child. Mom and Dad came to all of so-and-so's games. They don't come to none of mine. We've been there. We've done it. Not with them, you haven't. Be there. Every time. Strong families. Strong families. Strong families. Does this make sense? When you see your parents cheering you on, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Don't act like they didn't show up. You go right up to them. Thanks for coming. Listen to me. We got to have loving families.
You've been listening to the Stephen Sexton Podcast. Your life is by design, so don't fall into average. Be more, do more, know him more. Thanks for listening.